remain standing and pray with me. Almighty God, we come before you on this most glorious day when your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, took on human flesh to save us, to redeem us, so that we might participate in the very life of God. I pray that this day you would give us again the gift of the great joy that the angels announced. And so we commend ourselves fully to your fatherly love and care. In the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. Well, let me say it one more time. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
All right. That's good. That's good. Y'all doing all right? Well, someone remarked earlier, this is my fourth sermon in 24 hours, so you'll forgive me if I chose the same gospel lesson from last night. This is a different sermon, but I wanted to economize my time this week, so I do appreciate your understanding. Well, today we celebrate with one voice this radical, world-altering truth. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in our gospel lesson this morning, Luke gives us one of the most familiar and beloved passages in Scripture. And we've heard it a lot here in the last 2 nights, or last 2 days. And we're going to go back to it again here this morning. But more than a familiar story, Luke gives us a window into the deep and durable joy that God brings through the incarnation. So last night we looked at the good news of the incarnation. Today we're going to look at the joy of the incarnation. And this is a joy that is not seasonal, but is rather eternal. It's not sentimental, but it's substantial. It's not fragile, but rather it's a fierce joy. Our passage from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20, presents three movements of this joy. We see joy in God's sovereign faithfulness, joy in God's surprising nearness, and then finally, joy in God's saving grace. Now, Luke begins not with angels and shepherds or mangers, but with a decree from Caesar Augustus in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. Augustus was the most powerful man in all the world. He controlled armies, he controlled regions, he controlled economies, yet Luke makes a quiet but thunderous point. The emperor's decree does not reveal Augustus's power. It reveals God's sovereign faithfulness. Centuries earlier, the prophet Micah declared God's promise that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem. And here God moves the entire Roman Empire so that two insignificant peasants, Joseph and Mary, will arrive at the right town at the right time. You see, God does not leave his promises just half fulfilled. He doesn't leave just half his promises on the table and only fulfills parts of them. You see, he's never late. He never forgets. He never fails when it comes to his word. And this is the first note of Christmas joy. God sovereignly keeps his word. He faithfully keeps his promise. Joy is found in his sovereign faithfulness. On Christmas Day, joy is not built on how we feel, praise God. Nor is it built on the gifts we've unwrapped. If you've got kids, that joy's gone quickly. They look over at brother or sister's presents and are like, ho, ho, ho. I've been short-shrifted here. Rather, this joy is built on what God has sovereignly done for us, and it's built on his faithful character towards us. When the world seems ruled by powers beyond our control, when the news headlines are chaotic, when life feels uncertain or fragile, Christmas joy reminds us above emperors and empires stands the King of Kings. And he has not abandoned his reign, much less his word. Then, moving from Caesar Augustus, Luke brings us to Bethlehem. And the entire mood shifts. There's a vibe shift here. We move from empire to stable, from royal decree to humble manger. Mary gives birth to Jesus, wraps him in swaddling cloths, and lays him in a feeding trough because there was no room anywhere else. And then, all of a sudden, angels appear, not kings, not to kings or priests or nobles, but to lowly shepherds they appear. You have to understand, shepherds at that time were the social outsiders, rough, unclean, unimportant. Their testimony was not even regarded or not generally regarded or accepted in court. And yet, as Luke records in verse 9, the angel of the Lord appeared to them. He appeared to them. And here's the second note of Christmas joy. God comes near to the lowly. Joy is found in God's surprising nearness. The incarnation is the great reversal of expectations. God does not step into human history through golden gates, nor into marble palaces, nor does he come wearing purple robes. He comes near wrapped in swaddling cloths. He comes near to the poor. He comes near to the outcast. He comes near to the overlooked. All of this points to this truth. Christmas is not the celebration of our journey to God. Because you know what? That would just be the best of us falling short. It's the celebration of God's journey to us. God comes near to you this morning. I hope you know this. God comes near to you, each one of you, this morning through his word read and preached and through the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Christ is present to us, Emmanuel, this morning. He drew near to shepherds. He still draws near to the wounded and the lost today. He drew near to those who were afraid. He still draws near to the fearful and the anxious today. He drew near to the poor and the powerless. He still draws near to the grieving, the weary, the wounded, and the lonely today. You see, Christian joy does not depend on our climbing up to God. It's not like we won a game and the joy of a victory. This joy is more durable than that. It doesn't depend on us climbing up to God, but it depends on God climbing down to us. And if he has climbed down to be with us, then he's going nowhere because he says, I will be with you and you will be my people. The great covenant promise of both Old and New Testament. The climax of this passage is the angelic announcement that begins in verse 10. For behold, fear not, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. The climax of this story and that of human history is not advice or instruction or even inspiration, but rather it's an announcement to these shepherds. It's news. It's good news. It's the best news the world has ever heard. And the news we discover and experience here is not of small or seasonal joy. The angels don't say, this is okay joy. I bring you great news of okay joy. We bring you good news of great joy, the best joy. And not just for some people, but for all the people. I love the way the ESV translated it, all the people. You could get away just saying all people. For whatever reason, they try to make it a little bit more explicit. It's all the people. And what is this joy? For unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. The joy of Christmas is not simply that a baby was born, it's that a Savior was born. Joy is found, lastly, in God's saving grace. Jesus did not come merely to inspire us with his humility, his lowliness, the way he held tremendous power. He came to rescue us from sin and death. He did not come simply to show God's love. He came to secure it by his own blood, his own sacrifice, his own self-giving love. You see, the manger, as we looked at last night, it leads to the cross. And the cross leads to an empty tomb. And the empty tomb leads to an open doorway, following Christ through the ascension into God's presence. It leads to everlasting life. The shepherds, of course, they hear this great and good news, and what do? I love it. If you know, roughneck, blue-collar guys don't play around. And they don't play around here. They go. They see. They worship. They rejoice. They tell others. Christmas joy cannot stay still. It cannot stay silent. Like a child opening a Christmas gift. Maybe you've already heard this morning. I know I saw several clouds of wrapping paper with all kinds of noise I didn't know my daughter or son could make this morning. You can't stay still when you receive such great joy, when you receive such a great gift. And neither should we. And so our passage ends almost where it began, with people astonished at the work of God. But now the astonishment is not the fear of the shepherds, but rather it's the joy of the shepherds. Indeed, it's the joy of the world. We find there Mary treasuring all of this in her heart with joy. The shepherds glorifying, praising God with joy, and the joyous good news begins to spread with their humble witness. So what does this mean for us today, this Christmas day? First, joy is not optional. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. It's a mark of faith, and it's a gift of Christ. We are a people of joy, not because life is easy, but because Christ is born, full stop. Because God is with us. Second, joy is not seasonal. The world offers holiday happiness that disappears when we've already thrown the wrapping paper away. It disappears with the wrapping paper, but the joy of the incarnation remains. Jesus is God with us today, tomorrow, and forever. And so Christian joy endures no matter the season, because God is with us at every moment. And that's a great encouragement to us, no matter what we face, that joy can enter into sorrow and grief. Third, joy is not based on our circumstances. Some here today may be celebrating with full hearts and full homes. Others may be grieving. Lonely or exhausted. Some may face fear, doubt, or disappointment. But Christmas joy is not the absence of sorrow or grief. It is the presence of Christ in the midst of sorrow and grief. As Bishop J.C. Ryle famously said, if Christ is born for us, then there is no room for despair. Lastly, joy is not passive. This is what it means for us today. Joy is not passive. Like the shepherds, we are called to respond, to go to Christ, to worship him, and to tell others about him, about this Christ child. You may not feel joyful today, but joy is not a feeling we produce. It's a reality that we have received because Christ is born and has been given to us as God's free gift. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. Christ is born. He is God with us. He is our Savior and Lord, and therefore joy is ours because Christ is ours, we are his, and he is with us. Perhaps the most stunning phrase in this whole story is also the simplest as we close. Unto you is born this day a Savior. The shepherds could have assumed this news was meant for someone else, someone more worthy, more holy, more impressive. But the angel insists, unto you. And today, the same is true for each of you. Unto you, a Savior is born. Unto you, forgiveness is offered. Unto you, peace that passes understanding is given. Unto you, joy, enduring joy, is declared yours. Christmas is God saying to a weary world, you are not forgotten. I've not given up on you. You are not forsaken. You are forgiven. You are loved. So embrace my son today and every day, and you will find him to be your Savior. And not yours only, but also the Savior of the whole world and all of creation. So this morning, as we gather at the table, we are not merely remembering something that happened 2,000 years ago. We are receiving the life of the one who still dwells with us, who still draws near, who is still present to us. Present to us in this sacramental mystery. You see, the shepherds knelt at a manger, and today we'll kneel at the altar. They received the good news by announcement of the angels, and we received the good news made flesh. They returned glorifying and praising God. May we also this day rise from here with such joy, glorifying God in the highest. Joy because God keeps his promises. Joy because God has come near. Joy because God has saved his people and all of his creation. This is the joy of the incarnation, and nothing in heaven and on earth can take it away. Praise be to God. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.